Amen. My emotions are all over the place, kind of like that psalm. Do you see where we started in that psalm? Shout joy to the Lord. He's our God. We're the people of His pasture. There's great things to rejoice in, but where does that psalm end? I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What? We use pieces of Psalms because the entire message gets so, God mixes absolute joy in being His with absolute terror in being judged by Him. Duh. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. We have an awesome God we serve. And the farther I go in my life in Christ, the more I realize I don't understand. I don't get it. He is more amazing than we know. I pray for your faith, not that I doubt your faith, that's not my point, but that you have a faith that's solidly resilient and that you're working on it all the time. That's going to be the main point of this lesson today. Because we serve an awesome God, but we don't understand His perspective. God was pretty bothered that He said, those people don't know me. They don't know my works. They'd seen what I did. But they do not know my ways. So 2 weeks from now, we will be finishing up the lectureship. And we're hoping to be a worthy host that we can bring our brothers and sisters from however far around the state they can come and gather together for a weekend of focusing on God's Word, focusing on His work, focusing on His will, glorifying His name, uniting with one another. And don't forget that your presence at the lectureship is a critical part of that unity. You'll meet people you've never seen before who are your family, your brothers and sisters. You'll serve people you've never had a chance to serve before. You'll hear speakers you have never heard before. And dive into the pieces of Scripture that we don't totally understand. So look forward to that. If you haven't registered, please register. Invite friends to come. It starts on Friday evening. It's most of the day on Saturday. Starts again on Saturday morning. We take a break in the afternoon, and Saturday evening late afternoon and evening we're here, and then Sunday morning. And the Thursday and Friday before the event starts, we've got Jeff Smith teaching us a leadership conference. So it'll be Thursday afternoon all the way up through dinner time, and then Friday morning up to lunch. And we'll be doing some extra study. So if you can join for those sessions, join us then. We're meeting this afternoon to talk about our final preparations at 12:45. We'll have a meeting here in the auditorium. So if you want to be part of the lectureship, and connect and serve, and that can be a part of your information for that, join us for the meeting. But please, whatever you do, pray. Pray for this to be used in God's name, for His purpose, for His kingdom. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Holy Lord, we hold You up in awe. We hold You up in honor. We hold You up in faith. We don't know what it means to bless Your name, but You ask us to bless Your name. So we hold up Your name, knowing that every part of You is infinitely awesome and terrific. Father, you are great and glorious. You are love, you are power, you are wrath, you are honor. You're holy. And only because you reach out to us through your Son can we carry any piece of those identities. We have your love because you give it to us. We have holiness because you cover us with the holiness of Christ. We have purpose because we have your purpose. We have faith because we have it, because it's Christ's faith. And we are family because we're your family. Thank you, Father, beyond words for what you do and who you are. Help us to learn from this lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I warn you, if you get into a subject in the Bible, you'll be climbing cliffs. It surprised you. I thought this was a straightforward lesson. I'm beginning to learn. I'm not going to say I can finish it today. I know I can't because it's deeper and more broad than I realize even after looking at it. But we've been looking at rest for a few different lessons, and this is in a succinct way the some of the things we've learned about rest, that God rested in Genesis, that he commanded physical rest, that he promised mental rest, that he gave us emotional rest and still does. And in Christ, we have total rest, spiritual rest. And we'll get to that by the end of this lesson. I'm not going to go back through those verses, but those are some of the ones we've studied in the past few sessions. And even those, and clearly those overlap completely each other. They're not categorized. That's too simplistic to categorize them that way, because clearly in Exodus 20, when they're obeying the commandments of God, they have spiritual rest and they have emotional rest, etc. But God's rest covers all aspects of our life, and it does so now. We have an enemy who's fighting against us knowing any of this. He's a liar. He's a blinder. He blinds people. He can look so good. And don't lose that fact. When you look out over society's struggles with different subjects, over the world handling different issues of morals and life and right and wrong, it can look so, so good and so right. I know that's right. And be completely wrong. The only filter, the only source of righteousness is God himself and his Son, Jesus Christ. Satan can look like an angel of light, and his lies can seem so right, and they are so wrong. He's a destroyer, and he's constantly accusing you before God. Last week, we spent some time looking at Philippians chapter 4. This is the set of verses we read through in trying to understand what pathway Paul was encouraging the church to take. How can we be people who can focus on the things that are true and good and right and pure and lovely? We made this list for ourselves. That the whole passage talks about having a faith that's solid and focused, that we're called away from worry and called away from worrying about anything, that we're asked to pray always about all things, all subjects, that we're supposed to be thankful people, and that's not the only place in the New Testament that says give thanks in all circumstances. That we can't understand, we won't understand the peace of God, even though we can hold it and be covered in God's peace. We're not going to understand the scope and the perspective of the peace of God. But we can understand that it protects us deeper than we know. And it'll give us victory through this life. And part of that is for us to focus on that which is right and good and lovely and true and pure. And he calls us to stay in his word. And that perspective ends with these words, and the peace of God, will be with you. Did I write that backwards? No. And the God of peace will be with you. It's an astounding thing we participate in understanding and having God's peace. It's the peace of God and the God of peace. But there's one more major point. The point I was trying to get to in all of these lessons in that preparation, I thought we could just scoot along and get to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So let's turn there now. We're not going to make it through it, by the way, because we have to jump back. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. I encourage you to have your whatever you take notes in out, your journal out, or your pen out. If you take notes in the margin of your Bible, be prepared. I found more, there's more things going on here than I can understand, and it's amazing what we're asked to participate in. So Hebrews is written to the Jewish Christians who are struggling with their fellowship of Christ. They're ready to give up Christ to go back to what was more familiar, which is, by the way, the same struggle most Christians have. Most of us have that. Wasn't it easier back when before I was baptized into Christ, I could kind of do whatever I wanted. I made my own decisions No, it wasn't easier. That's one of Satan's lies. But it sounds easier, and it looks nicer, No, it's worse than you think. Don't go back. So let's read Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, we must fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they did. Well, already we're a bit confused. We just got to know who they are. But the word they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united. I told you there's so many things going on here. Because they were not united with those who listened with faith. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he had said, I swore in my anger, they certainly shall not enter my rest. This is where we put on the brakes and say, all right, we need context. Chapter 4 starts with the word therefore, and of course, to one studying the Bible, you go back and see what the context is. That therefore is a transitional word saying in the light of this situation, we make these choices, we take this action, we go in this direction. So we're going to go back to chapter 3. But notice God's anger involved in this and his proclamation that somebody will not enter his rest. And that is terrifying. From the very beginning, when God took the Sabbath and he rested himself and then called his people to participate in that, hundreds of years later, years and years later, 1,000 years later, however long it was between the creation and the law given to Moses, thousands of years. He had a rest, and he called his people to participate in it. And then he rolled it forward and said, oh, by the way, when you go into the promised land, I'll give you rest there. And oh, by the way, if you'll just be with me, I'll give you rest there. And then Jesus says, I will give you rest. And now he says, you can't enter my rest. We need to understand better. Hebrews chapter 3, please. Go back to chapter 3 and we're going to read starting in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. That's pretty cool. We are the house of Christ. If we hold firmly to our confidence and the boast of our hope, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. As I swore in my anger, they certainly shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another every day. As long as it is still called to today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our commitment firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose dead bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Now we have some context. I know you knew what the context was anyway, because you had just read Psalm 95. But isn't that an amazing psalm? We just read this psalm of glory and praise and thankfulness to our Creator God, the one who created all things. And that's part of the point. That's a major part of the point. That's the magnificence of God. That's in whom we continually are joyful. Our response has to be joyful. I love verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, that's such a casual, quick comment. That the Holy Spirit wrote Psalm 95. And I know we all know that. I know we know that the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God or passed it on through our hands or men's hands. But I love that simple, clear statement. This beautiful Psalm of David is a psalm of God. A psalm of his spirit, just as the Holy Spirit says. It puts the perspective of these words in their proper place. And this warning, this serious warning we get, I pray, and he's begging them. The writer of Hebrews is begging the church, take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be any one of you with an evil or unbelieving heart. I haven't been advancing my slides appropriately. We are Christ's house. A beautiful statement. And notice what verse 6 says at the beginning. Hold firmly to your confidence. Are you confident? Start with the basics. that God is? Do you know that the creator of the universe reigns? Are you confident of your faith in God? Not of your faith. Are you confident of God? Is your faith in God solid? He wants us to hang on to that. Hold on to that. Know your confidence. It's a whole lot more reasonable and logical to believe that there's a creator God than to believe that there isn't one. It's much, much more bizarre to imagine any part of this universe happening accidentally. Hold firmly to your confidence. Heart health isn't just important with what you have for breakfast and dinner. Much more important than that is the heart health that we continually get reminded of here. That a disobedient heart, an unbelieving heart, a going astray in our hearts is deadly. Focus on the core of our faith, the core of our person, that we are a person hungry for God's will to be done in our lives, that we don't allow unbelief, that we don't allow disobedience, that we don't allow sin to take hold in ourselves. We're fighting against sin. Now, in the text, these points overlap. Heart health includes faith, which is what number two up there is about, confidence of faith. Heart health, having a healthy heart is having a heart that's not unbelieving, but it's also having a heart that's not overcome by sin, because both of those are involved in the heart that he's talking about. And keep your belief strong. Notice verse 19 of Hebrews 3. So we see that they were not able to enter. And he's talking about the promised land. They were not able to enter because of unbelief. 40 years he was dealing in a, well, he calls it loathing way, with the people who didn't know him and didn't obey him. Okay, back to Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, Hebrews 4:1 now. Therefore, we must fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, does a promise remain? The answer here is yes. If there's a promise to enter God's rest, pray that none of you may seem to come short of it. The exciting point is God's rest is open. God's rest is available. Don't fall short of God's rest. For indeed we have had good news preached to us just as they did. But the word they heard did not benefit them because they were not united with those who listened with faith. Being in Christ's body, being in his house, his church, is so critical to our faith. We need to be united with others who are listening in faith and following in faith and serving in faith. We need that unity. We heard back in chapter 3 that we need to encourage one another every day. Last night we sent out an email. One of you all sent the email by our request about somebody who's been with the church here for a long time, and they needed a vehicle. It didn't take a half an hour after that email was sent for that to be settled. You all encourage each other all the time. We do need to have our eyes open and to pay attention and to be involved in each other's lives. But your encouragement is powerful and life-changing. Your encouragement can make somebody else's faith stronger And therefore, when they're clobbered by Satan's lies and the things of this world, they stand. Okay, let's keep going. They were not united with those who listened in faith. Verse 3 of chapter 4. For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as he had said, I swore in my anger, they certainly shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said something concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they certainly shall not enter my rest. I would have a difficult time, Hebrews does this repeatedly, I would have a difficult time talking about this rest of God based on our faith being connected with God resting on the seventh day from the creation. I would think that was presumptuous for a pea brain like me to say, oh, see, rest, entering the rest here is connected to God resting after his creation. I wouldn't do that, except this does it. We just got brought back, all the way back to the first rest, God's rest. Our rest is directly connected to God's rest. And my brain then says, how? What? Excuse me? God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they certainly shall not enter. And he calls it my rest. And I go, oh, they shall not enter my rest. That's not just the promised land. That's the promised land. And again, therefore, verse 6, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who previously had good news preached to them failed to enter it because of disobedience. We just talked about that. Again, he sets a certain day. What day? What's the day? Today. You ever been there? You ever had one of those? Uh-huh. He sets a certain day. God has established a certain day. Which one is it, God? Today? Really? Yes. Yes, sir. If I say I don't quite understand, is that all right? He set a certain day. And by the way, that's the second time he's told us about how important today is. He said it in chapter 3. As long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're supposed to encourage each other every day, as long as it is called today. Okay? And now, he sets a day. Today, saying through David, now we've brought David into this from Psalm 95, after so long a time as he'd been said before, today, if you hear my voice, David said today. Have you heard God's voice today? You've seen him in your brothers and sisters coming in the building today. You've seen it in their smiles. You've seen it in their greetings. You've seen it in their lives. You see it in their love. You see it in their walk. Have you heard God's voice today? You see it in the sunshine. You see it in the unity of your family. You see in the care and the calling of your hearts. Have you heard God's voice today? Verse 8. The warning is don't harden your hearts. God's speaking today. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them a rest, he would not have spoken of another day. After that, consequently, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And this is part of the digging, part of the depth. There are two rests in the Old Testament, two words for the word rest. Both of them are brought to us in early Genesis. But this one is the one that talks about God's rest. The Sabbath is God's rest. So we're being brought into God's rest. So all of those rests, the physical rest, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, the total rest, all of that is talking about who God is and what it means to be in His rest. It's the Sabbath rest. Verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. So has God rested from his works of 6 days and rested on the seventh? So you get to rest from your works. What an honorable place. As God did from his, we get to rest from our works as God did from his. That's why I'm saying we're not going to finish this today. I'll finish the lesson. But there's an understanding there of what does it mean for our works to be rested from? And when does that happen? Because he said our rest starts today. There's more going on here. Verse 11, therefore let's make, notice this transition here. Pay attention, please. Therefore let's make every effort to enter that rest. Every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fail by following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must answer. I take that verse out of context, and it's not a bad verse by itself. It's awesome, obviously. But in context, the word of God is living and active. In context, it's a challenge to Robert to say, God is with you completely. His word is an active thing that will cut deep into who you are. You need to pay attention to it. Don't walk in disobedience, Robert. His word is living and active and pierces deep into who you are. It knows you. It can judge the intent of your heart. Therefore, don't disobey it. In context, it's talking about us entering the rest of God. That's where we get told about the awesome word of God that we're holding. Verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession. Back to faith again. Don't give up what you've confessed about who God is and who Christ is as his resurrected son. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. That gets back to the obedience and disobedience issue. Therefore, that's where we're heading. Had to get through chapter 4. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with, where do we start this thing? With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. Out of chapter 3, we got these points. All of those are, almost all of those are repeated in chapter 4. But chapter 4 also has a few other things to teach us about God's rest. There's a Sabbath rest, a God rest, ahead of us. It's God's rest. Just like his rest in the beginning. That's stunning. And it's today. It's available today. And this isn't a surprise. But the rest is salvation. That rest is eternity with God. And when does eternity start? Today. It starts today. You are eternal starting today. Obviously, you've been here yesterday, but we're not talking about yesterday. We're talking about today. Your choice is today. Your statement of faith is today. Your obedience is today. Your fighting against sin is today. Don't ever stop fighting against the sin that comes up against you in your life. We are in battle. Satan is our enemy, and he wants to defeat you. He wants you to lay down your arms and say, you know what? Sin's not that bad. It's kind of fun, actually. A lot of it. I don't know that I want to get rid of all of it. Get rid of all of it. Fight it. Hate it. It'll kill you. It'll destroy your rest. Hold firmly to your confession. Hold firmly to your confession. What is that? That's faith. Verse 14. Let's hold firmly to our confession. Don't ever lose your faith. Never give up on Christ. Never give up on God. Never give up on His church. Some of this walk in Christ, you might be battered. You might be weary. You might be bludgeoned. You might be bleeding. You might be exhausted. Just don't ever quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit on Christ. Don't quit on the Word. Don't quit on His church. Don't quit. Part of this is just don't quit. But there's more than that. He calls us to approach the throne of God with confidence. Wow. When? Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy for grace to help at the time of our need. Besides the fact that those are all present tense descriptions there, he's asking us to do that. Let's approach God's grace with confidence to help at the time of our need. When is the time of our need? Today. It's right now. So we are called to approach the throne of grace with confidence now. This is not when we are with a God in the eternal kingdom with God off this earth that will have been destroyed by then. This is our approaching God now, approaching Him closely now. He's your Father, and He says, come to me. Come here. But no, come on, come here. Let's talk. I imagine most of this is prayer, but this is heart stuff. This is word stuff. This is you being in God's word, approaching Him constantly in prayer, asking Him about His joy, asking Him about how do you walk in confidence. God says, you come close to me now. Let's therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. God's rest, we haven't gotten an understanding quite yet, but I think there's enough in what we've said to get us through today. So we can look at it again tomorrow, if He gives us that. It's astounding that we participate in God's own rest. This isn't just us. I joked with somebody the other day that God will give you a softer cloud in heaven. You know, no, this isn't just us going to heaven to kick back and rest. This is us going to heaven to rest in God's rest, in this awesome experience. Nothing about heaven is boring. Nothing about heaven is sitting around doing the same thing over and over again. It's being in the awesome presence of our God today. You can start that. If there's any here who are not baptized into Christ, we have a baptistry ready, and we can do that today if you're ready. If any here have any other needs that they want to make known to the congregation before Christ, we can do that too. Whatever your need be, come forward while we stand and sing.